My name is Ibrahim Al-Husseini, and I am here as an activist in the Arab American community here in the Puget Sound area. And I represent an organization, grassroots organization, called the Arab Center, the Arab American Community Coalition. It's been active in 9/11 issues since September of 2001, pretty much.
And could you tell us where we're at? Describe it for us and why we're here.
We're here in Tacoma, Washington, in front of the Immigration Detention Center. It's a facility that is used to host immigrants on their way to deportation. The facility hosts about 800 people. It's a privately owned facility that's leased by the U.S. government. And as you can see, it's somewhat on the edge of town. It's somewhat isolated. And it's a facility really that I consider is a symbol of the inhumane and irrational immigration system and xenophobic thinking in the United States right now. And we're here just to draw attention to that. We're here to say that these people in there, they're being punished when they really didn't do anything wrong. They claim that they are in violation, technical violation in their immigration papers, but the truth of the matter is that this country, this administration has been overzealous, has been xenophobic, and they had no problem racially profiling people, going after people, detaining them to suit their own political agendas and war efforts.
Well, give us a sense of who's inside and who's here at this protest and describe what we're here doing today.
Well, the people you see here today, the majority of them are activists in the peace movement. They're activists in the social justice movement. There's citizens also. Everybody here is really concerned about the well-being of the people inside of the detention. We're concerned about how fair this process, that these people are going through. They're concerned about families being broken. They're concerned about people have been in detention for years. People who've been in solitary detention for years. They're concerned about the cost and effort that we are having to pay to maintain this, even though it's not really necessary. We're concerned that we're concerned that this government is linking the problems in the immigration law to terrorism and national security, because that's really unconscionable. They make the implication somehow, they send messages that these people are terrorists, that immigrants equal terrorists. That is not true. That is just simply not true. That's why we're here today.
And Ibrahim, could you give us a general sense of who's inside? And if you know of specific cases and specific stories, please tell us some of those as well.
Well, obviously, a lot of the people inside are immigrants, lower class immigrants. When I say lower class, I would say lower class in the economic scale. People that don't have a whole lot of means to defend themselves, people that came from neighboring countries to work and make a family and help their families in the process. We also know that there's quite a few Muslims and Arabs are in there. And we also know that many of the Muslims and Arabs that are in there are finding it's really difficult for them to defend themselves in this process. There are accusations that these people are national security threats, and it's only accusations. There's nothing really proven about it. The evidence is not really contested rigorously. And these people end up languishing in detention for a long time. You know, we have a case that we know of right now of an Iraqi refugee who's been here in the country for years now. His family, his wife, his daughter, his son were given asylum to stay in the country, but he's going to be deported. And they are going to deport him because they're saying he's a national security threat. And anybody who's familiar with the details of his case understands and knows really how absurd this claim is. And we're concerned for him because his family is going to be broken and because he's afraid of persecution once he goes back to Iraq, where he's from. And this is really part of the problem also for a lot of these people. When they're deported out of this country, and when they're labeled as terrorists, when they're labeled as national security threats, when they're labeled as national security threats, dangerous individuals. I mean, what do you expect is going to happen to them when they go back to countries like Syria and Saudi Arabia and Somalia and all these places? I mean, for some of them, it's a death sentence. And through it all, they can't really tell their story. It's incredible. These people have really no place to defend themselves. They are not guaranteed an attorney. And when they're deported, no one is guaranteeing their safety.
And Ibrahim, could you tell us what this says about the United States today? Tell us what clues does this give you about the state of the country today?
You know, look, as somebody who immigrated to this country, I understand that in many ways I'm extremely fortunate to be here. But the truth of the matter is that the country for the last 5 years has been in a state of complete irrational discourse. Politicians are spreading fear, they're spreading hate, they're mixing the issues. There are no checks and balances in our government now like it used to be. The executive branch has way too much power right now. And we are bullying the rest of the world to submit to what we think they ought to be living their lives. This country right now has a great disconnect with the rest of the people on this globe. This country is carrying a flag of morality and freedom. And the problem is that when it comes down to it, the rest of the world does not believe it. Because what the rest of the world sees is self-interest, greed, and injustice.
And Ibrahim, what do the people of this country, what do we need to do to put a stop to this?
Well, This is supposed to be a democracy. And if we're really going to earn our right as a democracy, as a free society, well then, we have to step up to our obligations and duties as citizens of a democracy. We have to participate in this process. The fact that you have sympathies for some people is not enough. The fact that you are concerned is not enough. You have to take actions. You have to participate in the system. You have to make your voice heard. And when everybody does that, then we really have a chance to correct a lot of wrongs the last 4 years.
Any final words for our listeners?
Stay vigilant and be on this, on the side of peace.
So my name is Rebecca Saldana, and I'm currently an organizer with Service Employees International Union, which represents primarily building service workers, janitors, and security officers.
And could you tell us where we're at and what we're doing right now?
We right now are walking away from the Tacoma Detention Center, where they hold immigrants in detention, and we're marching towards a hotel where the Sheraton Hotel, where military are having a conference.
And why are we out here today? What is the point of being in the streets and chanting and singing and drawing it? What are we doing?
Well, basically, for me personally, I'm out here because so often when we're talking about homeland security, what happens is that some community is scapegoated, and for the last few years it's been the immigrant workers that have been scapegoated. And what's ironic, for me personally, I'm here for a couple of workers, three workers that clean the homeland security building in Tukwila. They work for a subcontractor called Cascadian. Cascadian's one of the very few companies that operate in King County, where we primarily have our janitors, that does not provide community standards, which for us is 9 out of 10 janitors have full family medical and dental and make a decent wage. But the janitors that clean homeland security don't have security at home for their kids, because they don't have any health care or any access to affordable health care for the children. So I'm walking for those workers. I'm also walking for another worker that works for that same company, Cascadian, who happens to be from Somali. And her leader, her religious leader, Imam Ibrahim, is being detained unlawfully and unjustly right now in that building behind us that we're just leaving.
And can you tell us what this issue of detentions, of roundups, of scapegoating of immigrants, what does it tell us about the state of our nation today and where we're headed?
I think what it talks about is the fact that we're lost as a nation, and that really what we need to do is get back to our roots. That, you know, my father, he's from Mexico. He came up as a farm worker and as an immigrant, initially without status, and then, you know, as a young child got status. And he came not as a terrorist. He came as a young child looking for an opportunity. And he found that here in the Northwest, where he was able to move from farm work to eventually a union factory job, where he was able to put his children through college. And that's what most immigrants, including those that are being detained, are looking for, that same thing. And instead of dealing with the complex issues and realities of that corporations can move freely and are not ever considered illegal immigrants in countries of the South or the East of us, but yet when workers try to do the same thing as corporations, looking for the best economic interests of themselves, they are criminalized. And so to me, what we're looking at right now is there's Sensenbrenner's piece of legislation, which is criminalizing me for taking my cousin to the store, is something's wrong. What are you, as Service Employees International Union, along with a coalition of organizations, continue to stand as a prophetic voice about what we really need is comprehensive legislation that would deal with comprehensive immigration reform, which includes, first of all, recognizing that anyone that's doing work should be treated with respect and dignity because they're human beings and they have that right. So that includes worker rights, that includes a citizenship, a pathway to earn citizenship. Workers are paying taxes. They're fighting in the militaries. They are doing the tough and hard jobs that other citizens of this country have decided that are below them. And also calls for a unification of family. I mean, in this country where we speak about values and family values, how can we also speak about that it's okay for a worker or immigrant to be here and separated from their family for up to 12, 15 years as they wait through this bureaucratic process of what we have right now in ICE?
And finally, Rebecca, can you tell us where we need to go and what we need to do to get there?
I think we need to do more of what we're doing today, but also one thing that we can see today in this march is that the only people of color are the people, like, handful. And actually this morning in Pierce County, there was a meeting of folks at Centro Latino Ser that I wasn't able to go to, but that are trying from the Latino community to build a committee that can deal with the issue of immigration here and how we're going to respond as a community. So I think there needs to be more going back. You know, we're talking about immigrants as human beings and really figuring out how do we have conversations with them and how do we make sure that they're leading the way. You know, and that's something that our union struggles with all the time because, I mean, we're Local 6 we just represent Pierce County and King County right now, and we're small. We have 2,700 members, and they speak 26 languages. So we have some organizers that speak those languages, but often we don't have the capacity to speak in our members' languages. So it's speaking in the language of human rights and dignity and respect. It goes a long way. And so, I mean, part of it is that we have the message, but we need to figure out how to make sure that we're bringing everyone with us when we're dealing with this issue.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
So, Therese, just start by telling us where we're at and what we're doing right now.
So we're heading into downtown Tacoma, and we've been marching from the Northwest Detention Center in the Tacoma Tide Flat area, industrial area, really built the Northwest Detention Center, built on a Superfund site. And we're marching towards downtown Tacoma and the Sheraton, where Pacific Northwest Security Conference is taking place. Under the National Security Agency. So one of the really critical things for me in this issue, I've been interviewing and working with students from Evergreen State College. We've been putting together a video documentary on detention cases. And one of the successful cases that we followed was a story of the Hamui family who were held in INS detention in Seattle. And it used to be that the old INS detention center was right downtown, and communities would gather outside the detention center every week in Seattle while the Hamuis were being held. And we had the opportunity to interview Nadine Hamui. She was 18 years old when she was taken into detention in 2002 and was released 9 months later. She was held in solitary confinement with her mother for 9 months. Her father was held in a separate cell. But during that time, they could see the community protests outside their window. And I think it's very significant that we just marched down from this tide flat area. It's very isolated. There's no signs where you would know even where the detention center is. It's kind of hidden in this industrial waste zone, it's very hard for people to get to and to find. And it's significant that they're moving people out of the city centers where communities can provide support for detainees, because it was that community support that had a very significant impact on their case and actually secured their release and their asylum. They're Syrians who have been living north of Seattle for many years. So what we're seeing in these cases is not only do the families have to travel very far to see their, usually it's men that are in detention, but not exclusively, but they're trying to disempower the community opposition to these detentions as well by removing them from, removing the detention centers, which are under private prison corporations, out of the city centers.
And are there other cases that you know of that you could speak about that would give us some examples of, one, the sense of rounding folks up that is going on, and two, the hardship that is being caused to families who are being subjected to this treatment?
Well, one case we've been documenting is the case of the Malkandi family and Sam Malkandi, who is an Iraqi Kurd, married to an Iranian woman. His children were born in refugee camps in Pakistan, one in Iran and one in Pakistan, and have been in the States for, I think it's almost 10 years now. And they did receive refugee status to come to the States. But he was arrested because he had allegedly met a man at the Northgate Mall who had asked for assistance in getting some medical help for a friend. And that friend ended up being a man named Atrash, who was somehow linked to Osama bin Laden and to the USS Cole bombing in 98. But this was back in the mid-90s that he had met him, and he had never even assisted getting him into the country in any way. He never came in to get the medical help, but he was just trying to help this guy who he didn't really know, who was a friend of a friend, get some medical assistance. And so he's being held, and as a point was made today at the demonstration, if you try someone or hold someone under immigration court, the burden of proof to prove any ties to these so-called terrorists is really minimal. You don't have to prove anything as you would in front of a jury. And his wife and daughter told us how when he was up for his hearing, they always show pictures of Osama bin Laden in the hearing room. And so this sort of biases the judge, and they always have this sort of terrorist association. Everybody who knew him in the Seattle community, you know, said he was, you know, very kind, somebody who was very helpful. This is totally bogus, and it's something that the government's doing to just try and prove that their hunt for terrorists is somehow successful, or that these security measures are, you know, needed somehow. And so there's a lot of opposition to his detention. And the other issue that comes up is his family did get asylum after the hearing last month in February, his wife and daughter and son. Initially, they were saying that they were going to send the wife back to Iran, deport her to Iran. The daughter and son really had no citizenship status because they were both born in refugee camps. Were they going to send them back to Pakistan, where they were born, and then send the father back to Iraq? I mean, this one of the issues is about the breaking up of families and just tearing them apart with these deportation proceedings. And there have been cases where thousands of cases, particularly where men, suspect Muslim men, have been deported and sent out, you know, away from their family members who are often citizens or were born in the United States. So this breaking up of families is a very big concern. Well, there's been a number of cases of folks recently in New York, some detainees won a case, $300,000 in damages for their treatment while in detention, even though they were deported. They returned to the United States to file claims. In other cases, like Maher Arar's case, the U.S. refused to hear his case and said it, you know, they weren't in any way responsible. And there is this sense in, you know, that anything goes. If you read the 9/11 Commission report, for example, the whole argument is that, you know, this is the war, the attacks of September 11th were a new kind of war, and this war necessitates sort of new laws that violate any laws that have gone before. And so the U.S., and you can read the thesis throughout the report, is that, you know, new kind of war, new laws, we can't follow the old laws. And this is what's been said over and over again in torture reports, in detention cases, in the erosion of people's rights to representation, their rights to a fair hearing and trial for their detentions. Instead, they can just be deported on secret evidence. We don't know what the evidence is. All of this erosion of people's human rights, and I think we really need to think of them as human rights, not just civil rights. They're human rights that people should have these basic means of representation, that communities should know what's going on and be informed of what's going on here. And I think our rights are eroding before our eyes, and we need to stand up and be aware. And many people have said, you know, this is going on with Arabs and Muslims now. It's gone on in other communities before. Here in the Northwest, we have the whole history of Japanese internment, and the story that was told about the Chinese that were driven out of Tacoma in the 19th century. So we have a history of this. We have a history of racial profiling of communities of color. But this sort of drastic erosion of our rights is, and the rights both here and abroad, you know, with the war on terror, we need to draw those connections and stand up against them before it's too late.
And when you say stand up, what are some of the things that folks can do and need to do in order to turn this around and make the and build toward equality and justice?
Well, there's a community forum here in Tacoma. I don't live here in this city, but where they're trying to educate the community. They were sort of sold this detention center, saying it would bring 200 jobs to the community. And people need to be aware of what's happening right here. And I think a number of the lawyers we've talked to in these cases have said that these hearings are open, and when community members show up, it can have a significant influence on the judges' decisions. It helps to humanize the detainees and their cases, and show that there's a community that's witnessing and watching how these are being processed. So those are small steps. I think we just have to keep witnessing, watching, providing a voice of dissent to these detentions, because as many of the people we interviewed said, it's happening to Arabs and Muslims now, but, you know, it's going to hit other groups too. And it's certainly, we know that it's hit a lot of protesters, people who voice their political dissent against these issues, who are on no-fly lists, and, you know, people who are being watched. There's a great book by Tram Nguyen, We Are All Suspects Now, and I think it's a good title, a good line to think about, that we are all being watched under surveillance, that our rights are eroding, and that we need to be vigilant to hold on to them.
I'm Tim Smith, and I'm the chairperson of the Bill of Rights Defense Committee in Tacoma.
And tell us where we're at and what we're doing.
Well, right now we're at the second part of the the third part of the event today, and we're at the Tacoma Sheraton. And the Tacoma Sheraton is hosting this year the Northwest Security Forum. This is a not a formal event, but something that was sort of put together, a mix between local military personnel, senior military personnel, defense contractors, in the interests of the defense system in the Pacific Northwest. So they're doing a lot of things. They're having special speakers come in. The commander of Northern Command is coming, speaker from the Navy, from the Air Force, and they're talking about the U.S. Armed Forces and how we're going to shape it to fight what they're calling now the Long War. The Long War is the new euphemism for the global war on terror or the war of extremism or whatever they wanted to call it before. Now it's the Long War. So here we're having a series of meetings, black tie dinners, balls, parties, a big soiree type thing, a lot of intermingling and networking type stuff. So today we've started our event at the detention center, and we're showing that the efforts moved against immigrants, the things that they're doing against immigrants and people that have come to this country seeking a better way of life, has been twisted and turned since 9/11 and into part of this overall long war. And that was announced rather specifically by the Bush administration in October of 2001. They put out a piece of a guidance that's talked about using immigration as part of the war on terror. And we've seen that happen over and over again. So the Bill of Rights Defense Committee, we believe that our civil liberties and our freedoms as guaranteed by the Bill of Rights apply to us as citizens, and that we should not exclude someone who's not from this country from those same protections, and yet that's what's happening. So this is linking that whole cycle, that all-encompassing event, and it's very nice that everyone has come together to do that today.
Can you tell us a little bit more about the Northwest Detention Center, where it's at, what it is, and who's there?
The Northwest Detention Center is built at 1625 East J Street. This was what was called a brownfield site. This was a Superfund site that originally had housed a meatpacking plant. It housed a gasification plant where they used to turn coal into gas. And so it was highly contaminated and didn't really have much other use other than to be used for some sort of warehousing. So the Northwest Detention Center is built on top of this facility. It was built by a private company with the sole purpose of leasing the space inside to the federal government, and in this case to house people from other countries that are undergoing some review of their immigration status.
And why is it that you chose to do the demonstration outside of it?
Well, first off, the location of the facility on the Tide Flats is in a very industrialized area, probably on purpose. By putting it down there, it looks just like any other gray warehouse. Having the demonstration there shows the facility and shows the government and expresses our distaste for the facility and what happens there. Shows that we are concerned and we want to have oversight of that facility. And so the only way you do that is by demonstrating your presence. We have to be just as involved in taking back control of our street, our sidewalk, and not letting them think that they can just exclude that or make that some sort of a black hole. That's why we wanted to have the demonstration there.
For folks outside of the Northwest, are there other things that we should know about that might be impacting our own communities as well?
Well, people should know, with this expansion of immigration as part of the war on terror, and with the expansion of laws and the pursuit of those from other countries within our borders, you're going to see in your community an increased attempt to find people who are from other countries here illegally. You're going to see a move nationally and in the upcoming elections on regards to immigration issues. You should be on the lookout for any attempts in your community for these privatized prisons to come into play. Private jails and private prisons are just not in my view, in my opinion, the way we should treat people from other countries. It's not. It's an outsourcing of our function as a public. You know, the detention and housing, the detention and punishment of people is a public function. It should be administered by the public.
And Tim, any final words, other things that folks should know about?
Remember that everyone that you encounter is a citizen from some country. Our basic thoughts are that we believe the golden rule, the rule that says you treat everyone as you want to be treated, is absolutely vital. If we do intend to keep our place in this world as a leader when it comes to civil liberties and the rights of all people. So I guess if you just realize that it's not us and them, that we're all on the same planet, and do your part to think about that every day, then we'll have at least made some impression for coming and listening. Thank you.